No, so start recording. You did that wrong last time. Oh, it's no big deal though. You start recording, then you clap, and then I can sync it up there. Because if you start at the very beginning, it's tough to sync up because
Okay.
you can't really align it.
Okay. I am recording this currently.
All right,
That's
yep,
okay
we're
then.
good.
Okay, so.
Okay, so we'll go on go.
Okay.
Okay, so 3, 2, 1.
Go.
Damn it, I did it wrong. Okay, hold on.
It's okay. You said go.
I didn't say go, you said go. 3, 2, 1,
One.
go.
Okay, and we're off.
Perfect. All right,
Again.
we're doing it.
I think I said that last time, actually. That could be our
Did you?
opening line.
Oh.
I believe so. I didn't actually listen to the. Oh, no, wait, yeah, I did. I
Yeah,
did, in fact.
me too.
I listened to it in spurts.
Yeah.
I do not like the sound of my own voice, as it turns out. And
No.
I've been hearing a lot of it.
Yeah, that's a normal reaction to have.
I suppose. Yeah,
People have that.
I guess most people do kind of feel a little get a little cringe at the sound of the voice, but I don't know, but I guess it is that weird thing how like you just don't you don't know you don't sound like that. It's like it's
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess because it's how sound works or something like that. But yeah, I don't
You
sound.
sound deeper than you think you actually you think you sound deeper than you actually are.
I
So
don't know
I think I sound like, fine, but then I hear myself back and it's so much higher than I think I am, and it's really tough to hear because I sound whiny, like not whiny, but it's a little higher than I'd like to
if.
sound.
I mean, yeah, for the longest time, I always thought I sounded like Joe Pasquale,
Oh.
which nobody's gonna know who that is, but
I don't know who that is.
no, you wouldn't. He's not someone you really need to know, but
Is he dead?
no, he's alive. He just
Oh.
has a he has a rather high-pitched voice. It's kind of he's a
Oh.
comedian. That's kind of one of his trademarks.
No, your voice
That's
isn't
kind of
high-pitched.
no, I know that's what I'm saying. That's the joke. I
Oh.
thought I was Joe Pasquale, and it turns out I sound like a frog that is dying
Oh,
from AIDS.
that's a little rough.
My voice is a lot more monotone than I legitimately expected. I didn't realize how fucking monotone my voice is. God damn, I sound like a bore. But anyway,
Yeah.
yeah, so I am obviously the perfect candidate for this podcast.
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well,
By the way,
regardless.
a couple more friends listened to the last episode, and
Oh yeah.
they all, I mean, aside from the echo and the they didn't notice the buzzing, so I think that's just like our pet
Yeah.
peeve. But they said it was surprisingly easy to listen to. My one,
Surprisingly easy.
yeah,
They
like it
had
just sounded
expectations, I
good.
guess. That's nice. That's nice
Yeah.
for them to say.
My
That's cool.
one friend said it sounded so natural that he kind of just spaced out for a little bit and then started talking and was like, "Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm not. This is there, we're not talking to each other. This is a podcast." 'Cause he just thought, "Hey, just join in."
Really? Are you
Yeah.
pulling my leg?
No, it sounded really good.
That's some real
People
high praise right there. That sounds like something out of your. I don't know, that sounds like Fantasyland sort of delusional speak right there. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, okay. That's nice of them to
Aside from the
say.
technical difficulties, it apparently went
Yeah.
really
And
well.
we will learn, and I should apologize again for any
Don't
but
apologize. Fuck them. They clicked the
well,
button.
I'm doing it anyway because that's just my way. I just can't help myself. I must apologize for the quality of my headset, but in the near future I may hopefully be able to get myself a better one, which will
Oh,
also
yeah.
hopefully help with my broadcast as well, because
Yeah.
I would certainly at the very least
Well, you
like
can't
to
use that on a PlayStation. I'm pretty sure you can't use that on a PlayStation.
Really? It's USB. It's still just USB.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say you can't do that. I'm probably wrong, could be wrong, but that's like a real microphone. There's like shit going on in there.
Or rather than this novelty plastic crap,
Yeah, you
that
should
I'm
search up on
studying.
the internet first just to be safe.
Yeah, I should research. But even if not, though, I would like to continue our weekly podcast. It's still so it's a nice routine to have, and the
Sure.
mic would definitely benefit it. We'll
Yeah.
learn. We're learning one step at a time.
All right, we're like 5 minutes in and haven't even talked about the podcast. Or we've only been talking about the podcast,
Exactly.
so.
It's, ironically enough, yeah. Well, whatever. Whatever.
This is our pre-podcast
Breaking the
episode
ice.
where we review the previous podcast, and so far it's coming up like a B minus, B minus. That's not bad. That's a good score for the first
Not bad.
podcast.
Yeah, not bad. Could do worse.
Which
Could
was
do better.
really our second podcast because we did a
Oh,
first
technically,
podcast and it
But
went
then I fucked it
F.
up.
FFF.
Oh, that was the best podcast ever as well. People would have fucking jizzed in their pants when riveting discussions.
Fast and Furious. We talked about some horror movie.
There was something for everyone in that podcast.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, and then of course I had to drop the ball and.
Yeah, you're learning.
I blew it all up.
Yeah.
I did it.
And now we're here.
And now we're here, talking about nothing, really.
Yeah.
But there was a specific conversation of mine, though, and that continues to be Revelations 2, because...
Oh, what?
Yeah, Revelations, that little gem.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know, I've been playing a lot of that recently.
From this little indie company called Capcom, you may have heard of them.
Yeah, I've never heard of them before.
Based in New Zealand?
They sound pretty promising, though. I can't wait for this Resident Evil franchise to take off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's going to be great.
Yeah, they're showing a lot of promise.
They're going to stick to their roots throughout the ages. Keep delivering.
Oh, absolutely.
Title after title. Boy, that got really passive aggressive.
But last week we talked about the first episode, and it's only natural then I can't say that. Oh my god, my brain is farting on itself.
And now we're going to talk about the second episode.
What's going on? Never mind.
Do you smell toast?
Oh no, am I having a stroke? Is that what's happening here?
Probably. If you smell toast, you're probably having a stroke.
Thusly. Thusly. Is that right? Thusly, we should talk about the second episode.
Paramedics immediately.
Yeah, there is an emergency. I've got them on. Don't worry. I've got the phone right here. I'm checking my pulse. Oh, God, the panic. Oh, no. Oh, God,
Jesus,
no.
The fear you can't forget. Yeah. It's really getting to you.
Episode 2. It's only natural. That was what inspired me to want to do this podcast review was Revelations 2, so we could have, like, a weekly podcast, one per week for every episode, because it kind of works, you know, because it's the way it's split up. It really works for them to discuss each episode and speculate.
That's smart.
And I should also preface this that we will be talking about the episode in its entirety, so there will be spoilers. You know, spoilers are fair game.
Sure. Spoilers. So if you care about, like, 20 minutes of gameplay content and, like, no story, then you are safe, because there's really nothing to spoil.
You're already opening it up, because opening it up into what you feel about episode 2, which seems to differ from how I feel. So, in general, did you like episode 2?
Oh, I loved it. I loved episode 2.
You did?
Yeah. I didn't like the random difficulty spikes, because it went from me being fine, going through, you know, just completely cool, killing enemies, and then all of a sudden dying 10 times, and like, what's going on here? Why is this happening? So that really confused me, and I actually talked to another one of my friends, and he agreed that there seems to be just a random difficulty spike in a couple areas there. But I really liked it. I thought it really answered all of the questions, or not questions, but it really gave me what I wanted from the first episode, which is a little bit of exploration. You're not just walking down hallways and opening doors, and then you get a message that's like, you beat the mission, now you play as Barry. It's like, okay, you look for things, go check it out. And I really like
the opening environment. Yeah, the opening environment that you start off in is Claire, the fishing village. There's all kinds of, like, I mean, not so much secrets, but, you know, extra supplies you could potentially miss, you know. And it's a lot more open. It's a lot more spacious, definitely. The fishing village kind of reminds me of Kijuju from RE5. I mean, it's definitely bigger and not as bright, but it, like, the shantytown, it's the shantytown sort of location, it's definitely open to a little more exploration.
Yeah, it's not super big, but it felt big enough, you know? Like, I didn't need it to be any bigger.
It served its purpose, it served its purpose as a battleground for you to, you know, be chased by a guy with a chainsaw.
Sure.
I also liked episode 2, and I think episode 2 was better than the first overall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I liked the first episode. I thought it was a good start, but Claire's segment in particular kind of lacked direction, or maybe it had too much direction, because it was very just follow the straight
line.
There
was something about it that something was wrong with it.
Episode 2 to me feels like it's really found its footing now. It definitely feels like it knows what it is, and I'm kind of disheartened by what it actually is, because we talked about this in the previous episode podcast, but. It's definitely a lot more RE4 than it is Revelations 1, I feel.
Yeah, I'm not really seeing... in the first episode, I talked about how it didn't feel like a real game to me, and I couldn't explain why. And I think I figured it out, because there doesn't seem to be any personality to it. Like, there's no... There's no charm. Like, the first Revelations was cheesy, and it was over the top, but it embraced it. You know, it was, you know, Parker's like, oh, I'll buy you lunch. Hey,
me and my sweet ass are on the way.
Yeah, it was over the top, but in, like, the best ways, you know, whereas Resident Evil 6 was going over the top with intense Michael Bay-esque action scenes.
Just constant melodrama.
Yeah, and melodrama out the ass. The first Revelations was going, you know, very comical.
Lighthearted. Almost tongue-in-cheek. I like to hope so, anyway.
Yeah, and then Revelations 2 is like, oh, the place is crazy. And then
I thought Barry Segment had some personality to it. I feel like, because again, I really liked Barry Segment in the first episode, and I felt like they were able to reimagine Barry in a modern context, and I feel like they'd done well. Like, you know, him and Natalia, they had the chemistry. But yeah, Claire's in particular, Claire's was very dry.
Yeah, Barry feels like he's always been there. He just fits right in, which I feel is an achievement. You know, I feel like I need to keep pointing that out because Barry's been gone since the first one, or maybe the third one, depending on how far you look into that one.
Yeah, he was in the third one, but it was like, it was just a cameo at the end. And what was the line he just said? I couldn't let you die. Jesus. That's basically,
you've got throat cancer all of a sudden, Barry.
And when they're like watching the destruction of the city, Jill's like, what did you say? Like, I can't remember, but he barely says anything. It's just a cameo. You don't even see his face. You don't even hear his name. In fact, you just know that's Barry. I guess, well, you know he has a beard, and that's kind of all you need to know. Really, that's Barry.
Right.
But it's purely like as far as like a proper starring role. Yeah, it's basically the first game. That's basically all he's had to his belt, and then a lot of years has passed. Both within the real world and in the series itself. So. I feel like what they have done with Barry is definitely one of the game's, as you said, best accomplishments. They have done well by him. You know, absolutely. Obviously, like, the character's still on, they're still not outstanding, but I feel like they have been improving. I feel like Revelations 1 in particular as well also had some surprisingly likable characters. Like, Parker's awesome. I genuinely really liked Parker. Not even like, Capcom, what are you even doing? But I just mean, like, I just really liked Parker.
He was a likable character. Yeah,
he was a fun character.
He had some mystery. He had some intrigue going on, and you find out he's got this tragic backstory, but, you know, he keeps it light, and it was great, you know. I liked learning about Parker. I liked learning about the relationship between him and Jill, and then him and Jessica. There was some depth going on there with the characters, and I don't think Revelations 2 has any of that at all, because the episodes are too short for it, you know. Like, you go, the format is basically walk through three stages, Natalia says something, Barry says something, walk through a couple more stages, somebody talks. But because of how short it is, you don't get the same feeling, the same depth, I guess. And I don't even know if that's even fair to compare it. I mean, it is Revelations 2, it is the sequel, so I guess side by side you could absolutely compare the characters and the dialogue, but it's just lacking there. But I feel like it's weird to criticize because it's, you know, $6. You know, it's weird. I feel wrong for criticizing it, but it's shallow in that regard, you know. I think the conversations between Barry and Natalia have been meaningful, but then you get Claire and Moira, and it's just, oh, I'm a teenager, woo, fuck technology, or am I adult? I don't know. Am I adult? Is she adult? I don't know. I find myself not caring about Moira. Or Claire, and that's weird, considering I should care about Claire.
The Claire Bear.
Yeah, and then Natalia shows up, and I'm like, well, I don't care about you guys. I want to keep this little girl safe. You know, I played The Last of Us. I know what this is like.
The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead.
Probably, I don't know. I'm trying to think of any other examples. I know there probably has been more. I was going to suggest Amy, but nobody played Amy, and for good reason, because fuck that game.
Oh, it was like $1 on the PSN at one point, and I'm like, nah, I'm good.
$1 for that game is still like $10 too much for that fucking piece of shit. Not to go too far into Amy, but I just want to say that, I did in fact buy Amy for like £2 or whatever, and even as someone like myself who can still very headily just head back to the old games, even the very original Resident Evil, like, I can still go back to that and play it perfectly fine, but Amy is terrible. Amy is fucking garbage. Absolute, complete, 100% undiluted shit. Yeah. Also, the frame rate is like fucking 15 frames per second, despite the fact that the environments are... Oh, yeah, fuck that game. Terrible. Yeah. That game was as bad as what everybody was led to believe. It's like terrible, terrible, terrible. Yeah. Really, really bad. But unlike Revelations 2, see, I can see where you're coming from, but I disagree. I think like Revelations 2 has actually been surprisingly okay on the character and Nazareth. Like, yeah, Claire is a little boring because I guess she's part of that cast. Like, you know, I don't know, actually. I've always thought like Chris had something to him. I've always thought of Chris as like a very, like, again, none of the characters in this series is as outstanding. They don't stand out because as characters in other games and other genres improve, Resident Evil still feels like it's stuck in the past, and that's kind of that's part of the appeal in some way. But I do feel like Chris does have something to him. I've always thought of Chris as just being this crazy, honorable Captain America sort of figure.
Until Resident Evil 6, I would have agreed with you. And then they took him in a weird direction, and like, yeah, I kind of.
Oh yeah, well, Resident Evil 6 is meant to be his dark side. It's like, he's an alcoholic now. He's smoking again and all that, and which I thought was a pretty nice
bit of a beard.
He's always had a bit of stubble, I think. Oh, RE5.
It's different.
No, in
RE5
he was clean shaven.
Stubble.
No, in RE5 he was totally clean shaven, actually. Yeah, he totally had the grief beard going on as well.
Yep.
Grief 5 o'clock shadow, whatever. Yeah, they tried to turn Chris into this morally, you know, this bitter, you know, cranky, I've seen too much shit to care.
Yep.
And they handled it as well as you'd expect Capcom to. they made Chris sound like a petulant child. Shut up! Shut up! He sounded like he was about to break down in tears and fucking close his door and stick some Marilyn Manson in his ears, is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like Chris still has something to him. Whereas characters like Jill in particular, like Jill is like a blank slate.
They need him to be.
Yeah, even amongst Resident Evil standards, Jill is like nothing. Just like a complete blank slate. I always thought Claire had a little more something to her. I always thought she was portrayed as being somewhat tomboyish in 2 and Code Veronica. In comparison to Jill, anyway, I felt like Claire was slightly more distinctive. And now in Revelations 2, well, yeah, she doesn't. There's not really a lot there to her as of yet. I don't know. I mean, the change of voice actor doesn't help. I've always liked Alison Court, especially because for Resident Evil, like voice actors just kept the character just kept getting new voice actors per game for the most part.
Yeah.
And Alison Court was like, she was there. It's like every single appearance. Even crappy spin-offs, even Operation Raccoon City. She was in Operation Raccoon City. Like, she was there. She was with that character for every single appearance.
What happened was they tried to get Kiefer Sutherland, but he was busy doing Metal Gear Solid 5, and they're like, well, let's just get the girl from Mass Effect. She's pretty cool, right? And then that's what happened. But, I like Alison Court. I don't mind the new voice actress whose name, for some reason...
I don't know who it is. I don't know. I thought it was Ali Hillis or Tillis or whatever the hell her name is.
I don't think
it's her, though. I don't think... No, she said it isn't. No.
Oh.
And why would she lie? I don't see why she would lie, I guess. But, I don't know. Whoever it is. Like, the voice performances themselves are okay, but...
Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah, Claire,
it.
Just,
just
Claire just seems kind of...
They chose not to get her. I don't get it.
It's due to location, most likely. That's the reason why they completely overhauled a lot of the voice actors for, like, Ada and Leon. Like, sure. They got new voice actors as well, and that was primarily due to location. Because, like, yeah, this is not like a Metal Gear Solid thing. Like, I say that, but obviously they're willing to make some sacrifices in that regard. But for the longest time, like, the voice actors and the characters, they were one and the same. And Resident Evil was not, because why would people really care? But, yeah, I can see why they'd be willing to just, fuck it, this is easier, it saves on prices, just get this guy instead, because he's closer.
Right.
And, But yeah, Claire's a little dry. But at the same time, I do quite like. I think Moira was okay. I thought Moira was better in the second episode. She wasn't as very curse happy. And I thought she. One thing I really liked, that was actually like surprisingly tactful and pretty clever almost. Maybe clever's taken a little too far, but because Natalia. Oh well, because each episode is set between 6 months, and Natalia joins the fray with Claire and Moira, and she is of course also traveling with Barry. And in both times, both Moira and Barry, they try to cover up their swears from Natalia, and it's like, oh, that's kind of nice. It's like, you know, the father and daughter, and they are like, it's almost like they're actually establishing a bond, like a familiarity, a tethering between those characters, even though they haven't even met each other yet within the game story, but it's right there. You know, I like that they had that connection, like, she's like, oh, shit stain, oh, I mean, butt stain or whatever, and he almost says, what the fuck, but he bites his tongue and like, oh, there's a little girl here, so I won't swear, and I kind of liked that. I feel like Moira is, she's okay. She is already adopting the role. She adopted the role of a bigger sister to Natalia well enough. And but yeah, Claire's definitely kind of a blank slate, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't enjoy playing as Claire. It'll probably change, you know, because I liked episode 2 way better than episode 1, so anything could change, but yeah. Moira, for me, just kept getting in the way and really
couldn't hold her own, and so
every time I see her, I'm just like, you are useless. I have like 4 guns now, take one. Oh my god, your dad was born with a magnum in his hand. You suck. Mm-hmm. I hate you, Moira. I get really into it, but every time I'm just like, hey, Moira, come over here, away from the enemies. And she's like, yeah, maybe later. Mm-hmm. And then she gets hit, and then I have to save her. And so I died a lot, like, in between saving her and doing that. So I just told her, just, like, wait. Yeah, I'm on normal.
Yeah.
Just weird difficulty spikes. And then I run out of ammo a lot.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Huh.
That's funny, because that's, like, the complete opposite experience of me. I didn't die very much at all. Frankly, I didn't think it was any more difficult than the first episode. And that's what I was saying earlier about how, like, Revelations is definitely a little more RE4 than it is Revelations, because I thought ammo was very plentiful. I felt like I actually had, well, besides the boss at the very end, that definitely soaked up a lot of ammunition, as you'd expect, because it's a boss battle. But for the most part, I felt like my ammo stock was too high. My ammo stock is too damn high. Yeah, I just felt like I had too much ammo for the most part, weirdly enough. And yeah, I didn't die that often. I'm pretty sure I did. I certainly did die, you know, sometime during the episode. But did you die against the invisible enemies? Did you ever die against the invisible enemies during Barry's segment at all?
No.
No, neither did I. But I remember reading some reviews, and some of them noted how that part in particular is really frustrating for them, because it's like a one-hit kill. But I didn't die at all against them. And I mean, I can see why that would definitely be annoying, because like one-hit kills are always a real pain in the ass when you suffer them. But if you don't have that experience, you obviously just can't relate to that frustration. So I actually really liked the invisible enemies. I thought they were actually one of the highlights of the episode, because like the enemy, the revenant enemy, you need with the revenant you can see, but you need the Talia to pinpoint the weak points that will kill them. But these enemies are just straight up invisible. Also, they're pretty much the enemies from RE4, those invisible bug things. They have like the exact same wing buzzing sound or whatever the hell's going on. And you know, they're completely invisible, so you obviously have to place Natalia to find them. But even as Natalia, you don't see them. They're just like this creepy, ominous, glowy blob thing or whatever. And then obviously you have to place Barry to kill them.
Yeah.
But you obviously, Barry won't shoot them on his own, so you still have to switch to Barry.
Which is strange, considering you get a perk that allows them to shoot on their own.
That's obviously going to be against, like, you know, common enemies, I suppose.
Yeah. So I had to... I liked it, but I don't know. I thought it could have been better. I thought that Natalia should, you know, tag enemies or highlight them when you aim at them, because what else would be the point of pointing? But that doesn't happen. So it was kind of neat to like line up to where she's pointing, but that wasn't always one-to-one to me. But, you know, it did matter, because with Claire, I was always out of ammo. I was always low on herbs. But with Barry, I was constantly full on everything. I was never in trouble. Which was an interesting dynamic, I think. I don't know, it seems to make sense narratively even, because Barry, you know, he's prepared for this.
Barry!
Yeah. And also you get a red herb, like, right away in Barry's campaign, so that gives you a bunch of green herbs. I was better off as Barry, not so much as Claire.
Yeah, Barry segments, but in both episodes, I feel like Barry's segments have definitely been the easier of the two. But yeah, I can, you know... I can't quite relate, but you know, I can certainly understand where you're coming from, because the boss battle in particular did prove to be tricky. The boss battle, Claire's boss, well, the second one anyway.
Once you realize that they by destroying those cabinets or the shelves, it drops ammo, that boss became really easy for me.
Okay,
I stopped worrying about all the enemies and just shot it, and it took like 2 minutes to beat. I also particularly like how it gives you a really cool use of real time cutscenes. Because if you watch that cutscene play out, all of the enemies will alert right away. But if you skip the cutscene, you're able to get some stealth kills.
Oh, yeah, that happened to me as well. Because I died the first time, I remember. And it's like, oh, we should try and be stealthy, shouldn't we? And then as soon as the cutscene over, it's like, oh, well, they've spotted me instantaneously. What was the point of all that then? But yeah, and I skipped the cutscene, and I was able to get like one stealth kill before it all fucking, you know, all hell broke loose. But still,
you can get two, but it's not recommended, because the boss is like right next to you if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Boss is really easy. You just shoot it. You gotta wait a little bit, dodge enemies, let them destroy the shelves. There's ammo under there, and by the time you're done, you'll have enough ammo to kill the boss easy.
I enjoyed the boss, though. I did quite enjoy that boss, though, overall. It was pretty intense, like, you know, constantly shooting. God, it has, like, this fucking cauldron or whatever. It's like a cannon. He just literally shoots these fucking fireballs at you. Yeah. With his cannon thing. It's kind of absurd, even by, like, Resident Evil standards of enemy designs. But I did quite like it, though, because obviously you have the lesser enemies running around, so the Resident Evil shooters have always been really good about forcing you to have spatial awareness. Because, you know, it's obviously not a cover-based shooter. You need to be constantly on the move and all that. And, I really enjoyed that boss battle. It was a good end to Claire's. And again, I just want to go back to the visible enemies again, because, again, they were one of my favorite aspects of it, because they were also pretty fucking intense, because as I'm playing as Barry and I'm aiming at it, because when you're playing as Barry and you're aiming at it, like, Natalia will give you, like, directions and, like, oh, shoot up there, oh, no, it's getting closer. And it generally kind of inserted a lot of anxiety as I'm hearing Natalia getting increasingly, you know, fucking nervous about it and all that. And even though I didn't die against any of them, it still done a good job in setting the anxiety of the situation. And, I really enjoyed those invisible enemies. I think they served their purpose. Also, I remember one part in Barry's segment where I actually split up. It was involved that part of the gate. You know, you have to use the lever to open it, but then you have to play as Natalia to go through and then push a box in front of it to keep it open. Right. Remember that part? I inadvertently had to split up, and I was playing as Natalia, and I kept the gate open with the box, and I switched back to Barry to make the long way around. But then actually, because when you are near one of the invisible enemies, all the screen starts getting really hazy, as if you're in like a heat wave or something like that, or like you've just ingested some sort of crazy pepper or whatever the hell. And that's the sign that there's enemies there. And because I was on as Barry, I generally kind of like, oh shit, I'm not moving at all. I am staying put. And so I had to play as Natalia to basically come to his rescue. And I kind of liked that. I liked how, you know, she has a purpose. This is totally a duo. There's totally a dynamic happening here. You know, it's not just Barry. It's not just Barry safeguarding this little girl. She totally have her uses. And, you know, she totally can save his skin at times. And, I really quite liked that part. Otherwise, though, Barry's segment was a little more uneventful. A lot of very slow paced. There wasn't as much combat.
Yeah, I feel
as
like they blew their load with Claire.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty obvious what was going to happen. The second I saw that building, I'm like, oh yeah, this isn't going to be Resident Evil 4 all over again. There's just barred windows on every side of the building as a coincidence, and then of course it happens.
Yeah. It is totally like, well, a lot of this game, as it turns out, it is totally like a reference to an older scenario in RE4. We're working with Luis and you're trying to defend yourself against within the boarded up house. But even though it is kind of like retreading old ground, it's still something that works. I feel it's just a fun scenario to find yourself in, you know. It's just because you're within this small enclosed space and they're constantly bursting through the windows. It's very tense, because again, it's about that spatial awareness, because you've got these multiple windows. You have to try and keep your cool and try and, you know, understand where they're coming from and all that. I have no problem as they went back to the well of that. I think I really enjoyed it. I quite enjoyed that segment, which was in Claire's, not Barry's, because Barry's was very slow paced. There wasn't as much combat. I didn't have a problem with that, actually. I quite liked how Barry's was a little more atmospheric, just like slow walking. A lot of conversations with him and Natalia, which I really enjoyed. What did you think of? If I had any criticism to episode 2, though, it would probably have to be the two new characters they introduced, and also Dispatch in the same fucking episode.
You
Pedro
mean
and Gabe,
the guy who looks like he's Spanish but is perfectly English, and then the guy who looks like he's perfectly like Caucasian who ends up being Spanish. Because I had a conversation with a friend about that, who says that we both seem to agree that it seemed like they forgot which character was which and then just, like, assigned names to, like, the model and got it wrong. Because one guy is very obviously Hispanic and then the other guy is very obviously Caucasian. And yet the Caucasian is Hispanic and the Hispanic is Caucasian. It's weird. You see the white guy and he's like, oh, hey, Claire, what are you doing? And then you see the Caucasian guy, he's like, Claire, we need to get out of here now.
Yeah, Sam, like, Regal. I remember, you know, I recognize that voice.
What the hell is going on here? And then fucking Sam Fisher shows up? He said something about it's not about being able to see. Well, only if you're only if, normal.
Only if you have the complete season.
Oh,
that's a benefit. That's a benefit for us lucky few. But yeah, they were a weak point in the game. I didn't actually pick up on what you were talking about. I didn't really seem to. I kind of found them both to be interchangeable because they were both just kind of annoying. Pedro is meant to be the comic relief because he says balls a lot. Oh, balls, balls,
yeah.
Balls. And like he accidentally turns on the record player and he's like, oh, any recommendations?
Yeah,
he's obviously meant to be like the nervous kind of. Oh, I'm trying to calm myself with humor. But yeah, he sounded like something out of like a, it was like a Japanese interpretation of like an Adam Sandler stock movie character, is what he was. I was expecting him to like, I don't know, get kicked in the balls and then simultaneously fart, while also making a racist joke about black people or something like that, all within the span of 5 seconds. It was really annoying. I didn't quite like Gabe, the other guy, like the tank top. He was just kind of, I don't know, he's there. They both look terrible. Like the graphical quality of those character models are extremely subpar compared to everyone else in this game. They have these really pasty faces, like really kind of almost like textureless. Like they look really, really bad. But no, it doesn't matter because they both get dispatched anyway within the fucking episode. So whatever.
Yeah, and when you spoilers, of course, kill Pedro as Barry.
I quite like that.
He has the best line again, Barry with the best line of the episode, which I can't remember, but he says something like
pulling about hole or something.
Yeah,
like
that. Yeah, he gets the drill and he's like, oh, it's a whole lot of solutions or something like that.
It's very Barry, like that's totally what I would expect. That's a Barry line. That's totally a Barry line as well. So
yeah
again, Barry, he's bringing the goods. Really, yeah, good on you.
Really, really good high point. Yeah, I'm liking Barry. I don't know, but that just goes back to what I said about the first episode. If Claire wasn't there, we would have nothing but Barry. And if everything good so far has been from Barry, we would have double good. And if it's getting better per episode, which I believe it is, because episode 2 is great, then it would be even more better.
But at the same time, that would also theoretically remove the story structure, which I do like. I do like the 6 months divide. I mean, even though it gives them an excuse to basically just, you know, hey, you're going through these environments again. But, you know, there are differences here and there, and sometimes Barry has to take detours that Claire couldn't take, and vice versa and all. Like, they do have their own travels, but even when you are going through the same environments, I kind of enjoy that. I am not usually...
Yeah, I do. I get it. I like it. I found out what that... There's a loading screen tip that says, depending on how you deal with glowing-headed enemies will determine how you experience them in Barry's campaign. In the first episode, I'm like, what? This doesn't do anything. But I found out what that meant, and I thought that was really cool.
What does it do, then?
Oh, when you shoot those guys in the head and they drop those little organic mines.
They don't
blow up in Claire's campaign, but as the time goes on, when you play Barry's campaign, they will be there, and they're capable of exploding. So I shot one as Claire, and I'm like, oh, what? These don't even explode anymore, whatever. So as Barry, I walked in, and I walked right over one, and it just fucking blew up in my face. And I'm like, oh, what the hell? And so that was pretty cool, you know?
See, like, but to counteract, though, what I also learned in a fucking loading screen, I can't believe they don't tell you this in the game anyway besides, but you can use Moira's flashlight to just burn them away. Yeah, so it completely nullifies the whole, oh, you know, things you do as Claire will then progress into Barry's campaign, which is such a cool idea. I wish they'd done more of that. I wish like, choices you made as Claire, because it kind of reminds me of the scenario system from Resident Evil 2, between A and B. Like, there weren't very many choices you could make, but there were some choices in there where some actions you'd done in scenario A would then actually reflect in scenario B, and I kind of hoping that's what this would be. But yeah, if that really is all they have up their sleeve, like, oh, sometimes there'll be some puddles that may explode in Barry's. It's not really breaking new ground or anything, but that's the thing. Cause like,
but it's neat.
Just play as Moira and just shine the torch, and they'll fucking bubble away. They'll just sizzle away. So
I did not know that. But
How would you? I mean, unless you got lucky and just saw the loading screen. Yeah, that's totally.
Right.
It's that was RE6's problem as well. Like, they barely tutorialize anything other than like, hey, press R2 to shoot and press R1 to kick, and you know everything else. Like, the counter system and all that. Like, I mean, RE6 is still a bad game, but it does have a lot of mechanics in there. It does take a bit of a learning curve.
There's a lot of mechanics in that game, definitely.
Yep.
You know, people didn't even know you could roll, for example.
Yeah,
or crawl.
For the longest time, I didn't know that, like, When you are knocked over from, like, being shot by a sniper rifle, if you press X, your character would, like, get up instantaneously rather than having to wait for them to, like, slowly... I had no idea that would happen. I totally discovered that by myself by mistake, because, yeah, that game was just the fucking worst about explaining itself. But
they put all the budget into action-heavy cutscenes and melodramatic voice acting recording sessions, so they didn't have time for loading screens.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. You should have pre-ordered at GameStop. You would have got the GameStop Day One exclusive Power to the Players edition. They got GameStops everywhere.
Probably, yeah. They've got fucking GameStops in Antarctica at this point. Why not, yeah? GameStop and Walmart.
My favorite part of the episode, of that whole thing, was actually a bit of a two-parter. One, it's where you begin the level and then you immediately see this giant spire in the background. Mm-hmm. And it takes you like 30 minutes before any character even makes a reference to it. Mm-hmm. And my favorite part, one, is they say, oh, these audio transmissions are coming somewhere from the north, up high. And you're looking right at the tower and nobody says, like, maybe there. They say nothing. And then it's much later that somebody says, hey, maybe that tower's where the radio transmissions are coming from. And then when you play as Barry, when you show up and the tower's just fucking destroyed, it's awesome. The first thought is like, oh, Moira, what are you up to now?
Oh, I see. Yeah. The repercussions of whatever's happened during Claire's... I didn't even think about that, actually. Yeah. But yeah, man, that tower, it looks like something out of Mass Effect. Actually, it kind of reminds me of the towers from Central 4.
Spoiler alert, you may not have seen it, but they show you what the inside of that tower looks like in the raid map.
I've seen the entrance. I've seen the entrance, of course. I've been in there as Barry, because you have to at the end of Barry's, which we will get to momentarily, the end of Barry's.
They show what I can only describe as Mr. Freeze's hideout in that Batman and Robin movie.
Okay, I have not seen that movie, but you're already giving me. Does it have all of the same, all of the bright Neo shit?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. First thing I thought of when I showed up in there was Batman and Robin, Mr. Freeze's hideout. Yeah, it's bizarre.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Also, it's like underwater, and there's sharks floating around. Giant sharks. Yeah, the tower.
Don't they
crazy.
Go up? Apparently not. Then.
Nope, it's upside down. They're in Australia. Let's see, what was I going to say? Yeah, another thing is I've seen all of the raid characters. I don't know if you have,
no.
But people on PC have already been able to get to all of that.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
And I don't want to spoil it for you. I'm not going to tell you. Nobody, really. I'm sure you've already heard that there's only 15 raid characters in this game.
Yeah.
And
is that also does that also include like Wesker and Hunk, which aren't necessarily a part of the package by default?
If you're waiting for any exciting cameos to show up, you are not going to get them. I'm sure you already know Chris is in the game.
I didn't know that, but I would kind of... Which Chris is it? Revelations or RE6?
It's all Resident Evil 6.
So Pierce? Helena?
No.
Oh. So... Well, just tell me then. Just rattle them off. I don't care. I'm fine with it.
That's it.
And again, we've already mentioned spoilers at the start of this, so you know.
It's Chris, and I don't know if the costumes counted as characters because they were in their own slot, but a lot of classic costumes show up. Like, of course, Barry's Stars outfit is in there.
That's nice. That's cool.
Claire's Resident Evil 2 outfit.
Oh, great! That's awesome. I'm pretty happy about that. At least
Alex Wesker is in there.
Oh yeah. Well,
I know what Alex Wesker looks like now.
Well, we already kind of do anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
I saw that before episode 2 came out, so it was a sort of. That's why I sent you that message. Stay away from the internet.
Okay.
Yeah. There's like four different outfits for Claire. One is
not counting the cowgirl outfit.
No, that wasn't in there. That's like
oh good.
Yeah, that's not. That's just already out, so they didn't make a video about that. But it was it looked like Helena at first because it was like her clothes and the double holster. So I thought it was Helena, But then I looked, and it was like Claire.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's just Claire's face on Helena's body or something.
You know, it really wouldn't surprise me because they have the same hair type in that outfit too. And I actually wondered if that was a bit of a spoiler because it just gave the idea that this happens much later, in like maybe episode 4 or something. Because it seemed like she.
Oh, she puts her hair down. Getting to business.
Yeah, she. Well, it was a haircut. She had less hair. Oh. That's why I assumed it happened later. But well,
maybe that's part. I don't know. Maybe that's what the you know the torture sequence is going on. Cut off her precious ponytail.
There you go.
I know I'd be distraught if I had. I don't know if I had an awesome ponytail like Claire's. Then hell yeah, I wouldn't. That'd be my lifeline, but okay, I'm interested. I'm glad. I mean, I'm not unsurprised, but I'm glad that Chris is at least in it, because
yeah.
And I'm also glad that it's RE6 Chris, because I didn't quite like Chris's Revelations design, and yeah, I wish because Jill's in it as well, but I wish it was Resident Evil 5 Jill as opposed to Revelations Jill, because Revelations Jill looks terrible.
Yeah,
it looks really bad. It looks just out of place. And so no Parker then, no other Revelations characters.
No.
Wow.
Cypher, but you could get him. You know, you don't need to wait to get him.
Well, who's Cypher? Is that just the wireframe guy?
Yeah, it's the green guy. He's got a samurai sword. Instead of a knife.
That's kind of cool.
So I did what I...
Did you get to see what Chris's melee attack is? Is it the Falcon Punch?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay. I would assume as such.
Yeah, it's probably that. Let's see. So Cypher has the samurai sword, and Leon has the...
I know, obviously, Leon, because he's already in it, yeah.
He has the skill...
Oh, does Leon have an alternate costume as well?
No.
Okay.
So Leon has the skill that increases melee damage with knives.
And speed, yeah.
Yeah, or movement speed, not actual, like...
Oh, no, he has two skills. Like, one of them is increases damage with knife and increases your movement speed with when you're equipped with knives. And the other one increases overall melee damage and knife speed. So, yeah, Leon is the melee master. Because, you know, I guess he was the one that kicked... He was the character that kicked off the whole melee focus of the series. So it's understandable why he'd be the Chuck Norris of the game.
Yeah, so I did what I had to do. And I leveled up Cypher to level 30. And I leveled up Leon to level 30. And then I
you've got Cypher as well? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And then I gave Barry the samurai sword. And I maxed out the knife speed, and I maxed out the knife damage, and now he does like 90,000 damage per samurai sword swing. And he does it so quickly, it looks like a joke. You know how you could melee super fast in the first Revelations?
Mm-hmm.
Picture that like 20 times faster.
Like there aren't any frames.
There are so few
he doesn't even
frames.
Move, it's just
it's
so
just
fast.
Over. It is just over. And you could do it so quickly. In fact, I reached level 100 today as Barry...
Fucking hell, man.
And you
have
you
some
don't
restraint.
Get you don't get anything. You get no rewards.
Well, I wouldn't expect you to, really.
You get nothing for reaching level 100, which is a little bit of a disappointment, because I figured that's how you would maybe get the stars outfit. Like, oh, reach level 100 raid mode.
That is also the weird thing, yeah, because like, one of the big pulls of leveling up from Revelations, the first one, besides... just, you know, leveling up to beat more levels was, of course, you know, the different characters, different costumes you could try and unlock. But in this, they primarily just give them to you per episode, and that kind of takes a bit of it away a little. Because, there's not really that much to unlock. It's just more money to just keep playing, I suppose.
And the thing is, we don't actually know if those costumes are in... The files are in there, but they're locked for future content, so there's this really...
It could totally be DLC.
Yeah, we could totally have to pay for that. Which I'm really giving Capcom the benefit of the doubt here, but they've set this entire game up as a skeleton to take content from other games to build it as, and it's really weird because all of the animations are like the run is from Resident Evil 6, the gestures are from Lost Planet 2,
everything from RE6, like the movements, it's
the maps,
the movement is RE6, yeah.
There are two maps from fucking Revelations 2 in the raid mode. And the rest of Resident Evil 6, which just seems like a joke to me. Like,
it's
that's
kind of
the,
hysterical, yeah.
Yeah, that's the punchline. Like, oh, we're just going to take all the fucking... Like, and that's the thing.
Of RE6, of all the games,
yeah.
Of RE6.
That's the one.
Everybody's favorite, you know, all these iconic locales you enjoyed and loved all the way back from 2012.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I don't get why they had the Executioner in there if they were just going to use maps from Resident Evil 6 and not 5 or even 4. Because they've got the chainsaw animations in there, which you see as Pedro, so they could totally bring the chainsaw enemy back.
Well, that's the thing, though. They are also the RE6 chainsaw animations.
Oh, well, there you go. Like, those assets are just there, right for the picking. So it almost, you know what it feels like? It feels like they're passive-aggressively trying to tell us that, you know, hey, guys.
Hey, RE6 was all right, you guys. Yeah. We stand by our decision.
Considering the entirety of Raid Mode is Resident Evil 6 maps.
Yeah, but not Resident Evil 6, though. Like, it's... I feel like maybe they just want to get... They want to get more... Maybe there's... They're probably still proud of those animations and assets they made, but they want to get better use out of it by, hey, let's have you play in these maps, but with significantly better gameplay. You know, I guess that's kind of the thing with it.
I would rather have, like, other maps.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I would... Yeah, when we were talking about this in the first episode, I was really excited that, oh, maybe this is just going to be everything. Like, all the maps from RE4, all the maps from RE5, just everything in here. All the characters.
Operation Raccoon City. Who knows?
I think even Capcom are willing to just... let that one slide, but
I would not put it past them.
You know what? We don't know what the additional episodes could be, though.
Yeah.
The two bonus episodes. Or maybe not, Adam. Maybe they won't even include any Raid Mode. Maybe they'll just be, like, some extra story content or whatever. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, it's possible. You know, I was forced to buy a microtransaction because it would not let me earn mods anymore because I had reached the max. And since you cannot upgrade your mods past a certain level until you get the next episode, you can't. You basically either buy a DLC or you have to stop playing. And I did not like that one bit because, one, Sony fucked up majorly, critical fuck up that I have not seen anyone talking about, which really bothers me.
Oh, like something about the season pass is broken or something?
They uploaded it somewhere else. On the PlayStation Store. So you go to your content and say, okay, let me download this. And it's like, oh, sorry, this is a pre-order. It's not unlocked yet. Because they uploaded the actual content itself somewhere else in another directory. And the game, or the, you know, the console itself is linking to the pre-order. So, for instance, I cannot access the throwback map packs. I cannot actually download those. Because
that explains why only me and our friend Neil is the only one who's actually showing up in the leaderboards.
Yeah,
for the,
it's only for the United, or it's like only North America. Everyone in Europe and Japan, all that, they're fine. So if I want the throwback map packs, I have to buy them, even though, you know, it was a pre-order bonus. And
yeah,
that was the reason for the complete season.
Well,
but not only that, the best part is I actually bought a gun day one. I was so hyped up for Raid Mode, and I was so excited about it. I bought a Samurai Edge for 99 cents.
Which is still in the game. This is just like an extra, you know.
Yeah, and it gives you like four decent mods. Yeah. And I still have not received it. Every time I click on it, it tells me, hey, you didn't download this. Would you like to download it? And I'm like, yeah, I actually would like to download that. And it sends me somewhere and it says, sorry, there's nothing here. So I spent $3 on it so far, and I've only actually got like $2 out of it. So, word to the wise, don't buy anything, because it will probably not give
fuck
it to you.
Fuck consumerism, fuck capitalism, forget it all.
And
North Korea.
I saw somebody on the internet posting about that, and they were like, hey, so I bought this stuff, and it actually won't let me use it. And then some support for Sony was like, oh yeah, we forwarded this message to the PlayStation Store team, they'll look at it. And I looked at the date, and it was like a week ago, it was when the first episode came out. And so, nothing's happened yet, so... I had to realize that the very bottom of my soul that I know I'm never going to get to play those throwback map packs. Like, I will have to buy it in order to use it. Man. Because they locked me out of it and they won't let me in.
And I guess because enough people probably aren't making a stink out of it as well. Because why would they? Why would they try to remedy it? Because, yeah, enough people aren't really making a stink about it.
Yeah, it's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. I cannot believe this happened.
That's only on Sony's end? Like, Xbox One obviously seems to work fine, I guess, in that regard.
I Googled it, and it only brought up, like, people who were ended up talking about the PlayStation version. It's just Sony, North America. Europe and Japan are fine, obviously, because you've downloaded them.
Yeah, I have played them.
It still marks it as
a pre-order for Cronus. It's still just more RE6.
Yeah. I know.
So they are different RE6 maps from the ones you get. That's the funny thing, yeah, because like when I first started playing Raid Mode, I was like, oh, I'm playing RE6 maps, so is this the throwback map or whatever? I didn't realize, like, yeah, the throwback maps, because they made it sound as, oh, these will be bonus RE6 maps, but no! The entire, like 98% of the game is basically RE6 maps, but
yeah,
that really sucks to hear. That's really unfortunate you've had to go through that.
Yeah, honestly, it seems like a joke. Like, somebody's going to jump out and be like, nah, man, we're just messing with the here's maps, because It's a pre-order bonus that they won't give me because they don't know where they put it? What the fuck is... I can't... It's a... never pre-order on the PlayStation Store
yeah.
again.
Yeah. I mean, ever. Yeah, this was my own personal first pre-order on PSN, which I'm not someone that just pre-orders. I've definitely lessened my frequency of pre-ordering stuff, but there are still games out there that I will pre-order, and Resident Evil in general is a series I'll still totally pre-order, because I have to play it, every single game regardless, I have to play them all. But luckily for me, it has been totally issue-free on my end.
Well, it sounds like the European store team knows what they're doing, so.
For once, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we still have to wait an extra day.
Well, that time is them sitting there going, okay, you're sure you're uploading this to the right directory, right?
I guess that's true. Yeah, they're putting in the extra effort. That's why, yeah, making up for it.
Our guys are just like, yeah, fuck it. We don't care. Let's put it in the Resident Evil 1 Revelations 1 category. See if they care.
Just put it in Resident Evil 1. Just put it in the remake, why don't you? Yeah, get run around and run around in all these RE6 environments with camera angles. That'll be swell.
Yeah, it was... Oh, and quick aside about raid mode. I actually found a super rare gun, and it was named. It actually had a name.
Called, like, the Drake, maybe, or...
Bushido.
Oh, is that, like, a sniper rifle?
No, that's a Samurai Edge.
Oh,
it was a... I had a level 92 Samurai Edge, and I found this thing, and it was level 72, but it was way better than my own. It had... six slots, I think. Six mod slots? Or maybe five, I can't remember. But it had damage that was higher than mine, even though it was 20 levels under level. And it was incredible. I love that gun. Eventually I had to get rid of it, because, you know, I'm like level 100 now, so that was way, 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 way too under-leveled.
Yeah, man, Jesus Christ. Like, that's the thing, like, you were saying about how, like, you know, I don't have enough space for mods, but... You know, they probably didn't assume as people would just jump straight to level 100 before the whole thing's out. But at the same time, that is kind of one of the faults of this whole episodic structure, really.
Well, that's the thing. Before I reached the capacity of my mods before I got anywhere near level 100. Let me say that. That was not a recent thing. That happened a couple days ago. And also, I mean, they really didn't add that many new missions. There was more raid mode stuff in the first episode than there was in the second episode, so I didn't even rush it, you know? I was just playing it naturally. You know, if there are six missions...
What does that say? How have I been playing it, then? If I'm still only level... Well, I've been leveling different characters, but yeah, my height is only 21 at this point, and I don't want to go any higher. I'm okay. Just wait until the other episodes come out first. I want to save it all up for co-op as well. The eventual co-op. But yeah, you have played a lot more. I mean, obviously you have different characters to play as. Not every character is level 100, at least I'd like to hope so.
Only Barry.
Okay, yeah.
The only characters I have the level 100 is Barry. Cypher's 30, Leon's like 28.
Even your Leon's higher than mine.
No. Yeah. I haven't actually played as Leon. I just share play. And a friend just basically just sat there, made sure he didn't die while I, leveled him up so I could get his melee skill, because that made my samurai sword so much better.
So you're definitely someone who more so than I do, definitely likes to dig in and find the exploits, you know, when it comes to... Really? Oh, fair enough.
I mean, I just take him to the higher levels. That's it. I mean, he can't do anything, but... And I'm playing with a friend, you know. It's kind of fun to watch him get one-shotted by somebody who can't even do any damage to me because my health is so high. But it's not particularly hard in that game because I was like 20 levels above level before I even finished all the raid mode maps. Cause you catch up really quickly, and you get ahead really quickly, or at least I did. And that was just me doing it once, you know, like I just did this mission and then I'm doing the next mission and then I'm doing the next mission. And then eventually I got ahead by quite a bit, and it took until at least the second episode to catch back up. So I haven't really been grinding much. I've just been playing it.
I mean, that's like the complete opposite of the first Revelations. In the first Revelations, it felt as if you basically needed to play it in co-op at a certain point to get through missions. Like, well, if you wanted to... Like, the missions, obviously, they all have their own recommended level, and that is, like, one of the prerequisites to get the highest score you can on a level. So, but in Revelations, like, the recommended level in the first Revelations raid mode, the recommended level was typically actually much far below the enemies you would face. Like, you would say, oh, I'm going to go on this level, and The recommended level is 30, and then you go and you play it as level 30, but the enemies are like 38. You know,
yeah.
That's
I think
like
they're
that.
Always 5 levels ahead of you. I might be wrong on that. I only noticed that in a few. I've only made a mental note of that a few times. That
oh, is that the same in Raid 2? Is that the same in Revelations 2?
Yeah, I don't remember about the first Revelations, but in Revelations 2, it seems like they're always 5 levels ahead of you.
Oh,
so if
but
you have
like that much of a difference to matter.
It doesn't. If you have a gun that's on your level, you can have a gun that's 5 levels under level and you'll still do fine. But any below that, you will. Oh boy, what a wall! You'll probably run out of ammo before you'll die. But if I'm sure if you had a friend, it would be a lot easier. But
yeah,
I hope the end game gets a lot deeper, because I'm level 100. The store will only take you to level 95. You can't actually buy level 100 guns.
You have to find them, I guess, in boxes or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, but you'll only be able to do that in level 100 missions, because the boxes will only give you weapons that are on the level that it's recommended. So if this mission's level, 78 or whatever, it'll give you a level 78 gun, but it won't.
Really? Because in the earlier levels, they definitely used to give me weapons that were higher level than the missions.
Yeah, it goes up to like if it's 72, I got like a level 78 gun at one point through that level 72 mission. But it's not. It varies. It's not strict. It's a soft scale. It's within a certain range. I don't know. I'm like 30 levels ahead of that. So that stuff is just fodder. I just sell it immediately.
Raid mode. I was really optimistic for raid mode when I first started playing. Like, oh yeah, this is like complete. This is better than the first one in like every way. And,
yep, I love it.
But you still like it though. You still enjoy
I
it.
So much better than the first one.
You were still. There was
I don't have
negative...
to grind. I don't have to grind.
I mean, yeah,
I just
exactly.
Play
I guess
the
that's...
game. It's so good, and the guns and the mods. I think it's kind of bullshit that they put a capacity. I can't see anyone defending that because you get. There are so many mods in that game, and it'll take you a month to, or about a month from the first episode to be able to upgrade them all. So that just seemed really scummy. But when you get over that, scummy fact, it just, wow, there's so much to do. There's so much there. The skills.
Well, not really. All you do is just shoot things in the head. That's
The way you do it can vary. Drastically,
I'm still looking forward to co-op. Yeah, I'm still looking forward to co-op.
Cypher has a samurai sword. Fucking Hunk can turn invisible.
Yeah, yeah, I do like that. Like, yeah.
Pedro has a drill. Leon has a pushback ability.
The drill's crap for my experience.
Yeah, that pushback ability is actually really cool. When my friend was leveling up Leon, he was always like 50 levels under leveled, but he was still able to push those guys back really far, and I thought, oh man, that's so cool.
It's funny watching it as well, because there's no animation of being knocked back; they just sort of slide away. Mm-hmm. It looks really janky, but that's
pretty
cool. That's I
like
Leon's
the diversity.
Favorite. I guess Leon's a favorite. It sounds like. I mean, I'm not surprised.
I don't use him. I don't like him. I don't.
Really?
Yeah, I would rather. Play
I mean,
his,
I like Leon just
RIPD.
Because it's fucking it's his tall oaks attire. I think I've always liked Leon's character design in RE6.
Leon. I just, I don't need him because Barry has all the skills.
I need him in my life.
I mean, Barry has the Magnum skill. I got that maxed out. The health skill, the handgun skill, the sword damage skill, the sword attack speed skill. Like, it looks ridiculous. Barry is like an urban warrior. It's amazing. It's the coolest thing. And then I've got a Drake, of course.
He's maximizing his true potential.
Yeah. While we're on the subject, I haven't seen any ultra rare pythons or magnums. But
oh, you mean like a special version? Like the Drake is like a special, more powerful version of the Hydra, the triple barreled shotgun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no magnum equivalents from what you can see.
I've never seen it. I've never seen the
sniper rifle either. There used to be a sniper rifle equivalent. I can't remember what it's called, but there was like a super rare sniper rifle.
It had like skulls on it or something, didn't it?
I can't remember.
It was kind of gothic. I don't remember. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I used to see all those all the time in the first Revelations, but the only one I've seen so far is the Drake. I'm actually a little afraid that the anti-material rifle might be the new ultra rare, even though I've seen that a bunch.
It's not ultra rare though. It's pretty commonly in the store. Yeah.
Yeah. As I've leveled up, the Drake seems to be in there all the time. By the time I needed a new Drake, it just gave me one at one point. So, I don't know, I thought that was pretty cool. If I ever need a Drake, it seems
to be Drakes
are
in full
one.
Supply, yeah, they're doing good. The economy on Drakes is really high up there, as it turns out, yeah.
Naughty Dog are going to be really excited to hear about that.
Mm-hmm. Drakes for everyone. Mm-hmm. There's some Drake competition going on.
Drakes are on the house. I'm in.
Yeah, we talked a lot about Raid Monday. I kind of wanted to lead into that eventually, but yeah, I guess the big other thing to talk about regarding Revelations 2 is, of course, the reveal at the end. Oh. Alice Wesker!
Alice Another Wesker!
Alex! Alice! Oh. Oh, God, I hope. I would certainly hope not. Oh, God, that would be the fucking worst.
Would that not be the coolest twist?
No, it wouldn't! It would be the worst twist! It's Mila Jovovich!
Yes!
Oh, God, she was...
Paul
oh,
W.S.
Like,
Anderson!
She would make Claire look like a fountain of personality by comparison. Fuck! Oh, yeah, that happened. That's a thing. That's cool, though, because, like, oh, man, they did it. They actually planted some foreshadowing in something and then brought it to fruition.
Yeah, that took a while.
Not many people even know this or even remember. But, yeah, Alex Wesker was first mentioned in RE5's Lost in Nightmares DLC.
Yeah.
He was just mentioned as, like, another one of the Wesker children or whatever the fuck. in one of Oswell E. Spencer's, like, journals or something like that. And, yeah, like, we all kind of, everybody's kind of assumed, like, well, I guess Alex Wesker's going to be the new bad guy, and they're probably going to use that as an excuse to basically have Albert Wesker again. You know, just have, yep. like, oh, but now he's Alex! You know, he's just under the skin. But,
but now he's a her.
Yeah, I guess he's always been a her, as it turns out. But, yeah, and Alex Wesker exists and is a she, and that's kind of cool. Yeah, she's basically just a gender bender of Albert Wesker, because she's still like, I want to be a god and all that, and she's quoting poetry and shit like that. I think that's really kind of cool. But all at the same time, I knew it was coming. I fucking knew it. Alex Wesker's been one of those things. It's like, oh, is it Alex Wesker then? Like, whenever some new theory comes out, it's like, oh, it probably involves Alex Wesker.
Yeah. I like the reveal itself, too, because it's
really
cool.
Yeah,
it's a picture
Wesker!
Of...
Like Barry's looking at it, because it's like Albert Wesker sitting down, and you got this lady next to him, and Barry's like, Wesker! And like, who's this woman? He's like, and that's Natalia's like, oh, that's Wesker. Alex Wesker. And like, dun-dun-dun! It's like, holy shit, yes!
And then you fight Moira.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, Moira's the mutated blob lady.
What? How can you be sure? I'm pretty sure that's Alex Wesker.
I'm calling it.
Nah, Capcom don't kill their good guys unless they're, like, insatiably annoying.
I bet
like
she's
Steve
really
Burnside.
A bad guy, though.
Nah.
How do we know,
I know
that's
you want
the real
to. I know,
Moira
I know,
Burton?
I know part of your, you know, your fantasy is to ultimately have to down Moira.
I would say, you know, kneecap
her. You know what I'm saying?
You know, not put her down for good, but, you know. Shoot her in the knee.
Just to cripple her for life, make sure she lives a living hell for the rest of it.
If she uses a cane, she'll still be more useful than holding a flashlight, because then you've got this big old instrument to hit people with, but, you know, shining a light in their face doesn't do much. Especially when you just stand in front of them all day.
Hmm.
I was
mighty chuffed. I was glad I was able to get my reaction to that on my broadcast. Unfortunately, the actual sound quality is terrible, but still, I have managed to save those memories eternally, and yeah, that was a, again, I knew, I literally, like, because you read that file before you enter, like, you learn that it's Alex Wesker writing it, saying, like, oh, fuck you, Oz, basically just saying, fuck you, Oz, well, fuck you, you fucking suck, and all that.
Yeah.
And,
it was a cool reveal, you know? I thought it was great. Oh, yeah, that's a thing I didn't mention. I don't think that's Alex Wesker, because Barry knows who Alex is. By the time he shows up to the island, because
does he?
Yeah. He
oh well,
says,
he
like,
knew. No, he knew of the overseer. He knew the over.
Oh
knew
right, the
Alex
overseer.
Wesker
the
existed.
Overseer. Yeah, he knew about the overseer. He knew the experiments and what they had been doing.
Yeah, he knew some shit went down on this island sometime beforehand. Yeah. I guess he didn't actually know Moira was involved though, because he only learned because he didn't know that message was from 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But the one that he receives at the end of episode one. But
yeah, that's what gave me a really interested vibe, because it's like, so this has been done and over with, and everyone's known about it, and you just now learn your daughter's been involved this whole time. Like,
I know. Yeah. Like, I mean, from the sound of things, because from how they portrayed him, well, or at least from how Moira speaks to him, they make him sound as being very overprotective. So how have you not known where your daughter is for the past 6 months? What have you been doing? Fucking, I don't know, fixing your guns? What is fucking rubbing your guns?
He does have a lot of guns.
He does. He has a lot of guns to take care of. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it takes time. It takes a lot of attention. A lot of care and attention. He has to shut everything off as he's, you know, waxing his guns, cleaning them, spit-shining them.
Sure, remember them in the good old days?
Yeah.
I hope this is not Chris's blood. Oh, yeah, I remember
he
that
He sits
line.
Their finger to himself. Yeah.
And then I said,
I have this!
You were almost a Jill sandwich. Oh, that
and
was
this.
Good. Way to go,
this,
Barry.
And this. Yeah, yeah, but yeah, Alex Wesker, that was cool. Yeah.
Can't wait to see her.
You already know what she already looks like. I guess, in Raid Mode, and she has blonde hair. Of course she does.
Yeah, she does. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to see her in official capacity to play as her in Raid Mode.
She's wearing like a white suit or something like that. Is she?
Yeah,
a white...
ivory.
Looks classy. A classy lady.
Off white a little bit.
Hmm. Is she wearing shades? Does she also wear shades?
That'd I don't think so.
Ah, that'd be the best.
You gotta buy the DLC to get her to wear shades, unfortunately. You gotta buy the $10 costume pack.
Well, that is unless you're in North America, where you would buy the shades and then they would just fucking vanish.
Yeah.
And never exist, and you'd have to buy them. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, that was basically. I don't think there's anything else. Any other topics regarding Revelations 2 Episode 2 that I'm trying to think of? Mm. No, we talked about the story, the characters, Pedro. T Phobos. Oh, yeah, because, like, everybody's infected and all that and stuff. And. Yeah, whatever.
Yuri Lowenthal makes a cameo with Sam Fisher. That's pretty cool.
What?
Sam Fisher.
Oh, Neil. Yeah, yeah. Well, he was technically in the first episode as well.
Yeah.
At the party. But yeah, Yuri Lowenthal is in yet another video game. That guy, yeah. Well, he has often been in every game, but I feel like...
He's cornering the market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He is the C-grade Troy Baker, and that he's everywhere, but he's like... Man, number three or whatever, yeah. Like, yeah.
It's not about being able to see, it's about feeling normal.
Oh, and that reminds me, yeah, like...
Oh, that's
like, literally,
right.
Literally within the same time frame, we'll have Revelations 2 Episode 3 and the Assignment DLC for The Evil Within.
And guess who's buying it? Guess who already has the money? That's right.
Me.
Oh, well, it's me. I'm talking about me.
Oh, I'm also talking about me. We both do. I own the season pass. I bought it as soon as I could.
Nice. I'm going to buy it soon. I'm getting The Evil Within again. It'll be here. Should be here tomorrow. It was going to be here today, but it's Sunday.
Nice.
But tomorrow. And then I'll buy that.
Yeah, that's coming up. All the horror shooter you could ever ask for, I guess.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, no, but
But can't do that. Okay, you can't do that for more than 15 seconds, though, or else we will get shut down by a copyright notice takedown. Okay, we should... This is probably the part where I should fade out.
No, that's... okay, well, I did want to talk about other stuff. There are other topics on my mind.
We've already gone for an hour.
Yeah, I guess we should...
Save it for next episode. Why not?
But that's the thing, because like next episode will also be Revelations 2 Episode 3. But because just to leave our non-existent viewers, listeners in suspense. You've been playing some of the remake, which I would like to talk about, and I've been playing some of DMC on the PS4, which I would like to talk about today.
Only played like 20 minutes of the remake,
but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's fine. I can just talk about it and let you know that it's a good version of that game.
Okay.
Too long story short, too long, didn't listen. It's a very good version of that game. 60 frames per second, locked.
It looks good.
Should probably give the game another chance.
Maybe. I am. I'm giving it many chances. I didn't know I was playing on easy mode, but...
Wait, Resident Evil?
Yeah.
I'm talking about DMC.
Oh, no, I don't like the game.
Oh. Yeah. Well, whatever then. But yeah, remake. Yeah, you're playing out in easy mode. Because, yeah, a lot of people would have played out in easy mode because it has a really deceptive way of listing out the difficulties because just like it has three selections and naturally you assume the one in the middle is normal mode.
Yeah, that's the one that sounds like normal. The one at top sounds hard.
Exactly, that's the thing, yeah. But because they added in very easy mode, that is now at the very bottom.
Mm.
Whereas the top one is normal. So, yeah, most people play it on easy mode. And yeah, I have seen people saying, like, oh, this game's too easy. What the fuck? Ammo limitation? What there's ammo everywhere. But it's like, no, it's because you've been playing on easy mode the whole time. Also, it's Jill.
Because
everyone plays as Jill, as it turns out.
I like that.
Oh, man. Yeah, the beret's pretty cool.
She's the hat girl. She's always had hats.
She should be wearing the beret more often. I think it's crazy why the beret just isn't her thing.
Yeah, it would have looked great on her wetsuit.
She's only worn it canonically in the first game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Even in RE5, she wore that stupid baseball cap.
I liked it. I thought that was pretty cool.
Nah.
It's better than the blonde fucking chest jewel dominatrix stuff. Yeah, Jesus Christ. That always made me uncomfortable.
Made me
very
comfortable. It made me very comfortable, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah, maybe that's a good time to cut it out then.
Yeah, alright. Yeah, we're going to get out of here before this takes a turn that we didn't want it to take.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but, I don't want it to take. But,
I'm all for it, though. I'm more than willing to share whatever needs to be said.
I'm sure you are.
But yeah. This was our second episode of The Words That Kill Cast, or yep. Podcast That Kill, whatever the fuck it's called.
The Words That Kill Podcast. Podcast yeah. That Kill.
That'll do it. Yeah, exactly. We have so much confidence in our own podcast, we can't even remember the name. Yeah. Definitely do want to continue this on, and I don't know, hopefully just want to get some little few more views. I don't know, I guess you've got your crew to spread it around, but sure. Yeah. This was fun. I enjoy talking
to
you.
Don't copy that floppy, but if you do want to listen to more, you should pass this podcast around and make us internet famous.
Exactly.
And then we'll make more.
And when we're famous, we'll totally call everyone out. We'll make a Patreon and we'll say, hey, we'll stick you.
Donate $1 and we will say your name on air.
Yep.
And that's it.
That's a wrap.
And stop recording? The theme song for our podcast, Retro Future Dirty, is by Kevin MacLeod at incomptech.com. incomptech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Thank you for listening, and also please don't sue us, because I don't think we have permission to use new shoes. As I can't wait, and I don't want to go to prison, because I don't do well under stress. So thanks for listening. Also, but for real though, don't sue us. Thanks.